Well, it's a big legal week, as Farai pointed out earlier on in the program. Joining us, still with us, actually, is John Schwartz, our friend for The New York Times, legal analyst for The New York Times, writes for our partner, The New York Times. Also joining us is Noah Feldman, who's the Bemis Professor of Law at Harvard University. He joins us from his home just across the river from where I am in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Noah, thanks for being with us.
It's a pleasure.
So both of you, listen, here is President Obama running down the resume of his new nominee for Supreme Court Justice to replace David Souter, Sonia Sotomayor.
She's been a big city prosecutor and a corporate litigator. She spent 6 years as a trial judge on the U.S. District Court and would replace Justice Souter as the only justice with experience as a trial judge.
We're going to learn a lot about Sonia Sotomayor as the confirmation process begins, and there are already signs that it's going to be a heated confirmation process. But aside from the Clarence Thomas confirmation, where the Anita Hill surprise dominated the headlines for weeks in the United States some decades ago, the surprises usually take place on the court. Noah Feldman, regardless of how this confirmation hearing goes, what is the capacity of a Supreme Court nominee to surprise on the bench? And you can speak from personal experience, I believe.
I did work for Justice Souter, he's certainly an example of somebody not everyone whom understood the trend of his thinking when he went on the court. I would say that in historical terms, most justices who change have historically become more liberal. There are only a few cases, most notably Justice Felix Frankfurter, who was perceived as having become more conservative when he sat on the court. But in the modern era especially, the vision is typically that people who are perceived as middle of the road or conservative end up being more liberal than was expected. Justice Kennedy, presently sitting, is another example of somebody who, appointed by Ronald Reagan, ended up making some pretty important liberal decisions. That's the most common trend line.
Now, is this something about the nature of the court? The Supreme Court justice job itself is one of extraordinary autonomy, a lifetime appointment. Once you get into the job, you see the world differently. Or is it something about the confirmation process that really misses the real core of what these justices are likely to do in the future?
It's both. On the one hand, most judges, and Judge Sotomayor is one such, have only decided Court of Appeals decisions where there's not that much autonomy in the hands of the judges. The judges really have precedent that they have to follow. It's not up to them to make new law. By contrast, on the Supreme Court, almost every case that the court hears does not have a clear or a simple answer, and that's why the Supreme Court justices disagree with each other so frequently. So it's hard to know for sure how someone is going to rule when you confirm them. By the same token, it's also true that, in broad terms, our Supreme Court has, over the years, expanded rights much more than it has contracted them. We have broader rights to autonomy and to liberty and to equality than the Founding Fathers may originally have envisioned. And so the justices tend to fall into that same pattern of gradually and sometimes cautiously, sometimes not so cautiously, expanding our liberties, and that makes them seem more liberal.
John Schwartz, Sotomayor replacing David Souter, it has been said again and again on this program and elsewhere that because she's replacing Souter and because she's a known liberal, that her impact on the court is likely to be nil in terms of the voting. Anthony Kennedy will remain the swing vote. What's your assessment of that, John?
Well, a new person changes the dynamics of the court. Everything happens. You get into judicial conferences, you get into conversations, and the power of personality affects the mix. And so just saying that the vote will be the same is not the same.
You know, we've talked on this program a lot about the idea, the capacity of a justice to persuade other justices. Noah, what do you think the capacity of Sotomayor is to be a persuader and a convincer of other justices, a real activist jurist?
It's, again, very difficult to know in advance. She's got years of experience as a judge, and that means she knows the collegial rules that judges follow amongst themselves. The way they convince each other of things might be, in certain ways, more subtle, more cautious, and more respectful of each other than the way, let's say, academics, to use an example, might try to convince each other of things, and she certainly is well-schooled in those ways.
Mm-hmm.
That said, you know, sometimes it takes years to bring someone over to a new position, and it's difficult to know what the interpersonal dynamics will be. Justice Sotomayor will be, if she is confirmed as a justice, will be the sixth Catholic on the court, which is fairly extraordinary.
Oh, but that's interesting.
Broadly speaking, seem quite different from those of some of the others on the court who tend to be on the conservative side.
Well, just quickly in terms of demographics, you mentioned the six Catholics, but, you know, at what point does demographics, like the first Latina, or, you know, we need a woman in this seat. At what point does a candidate's demographics help or hurt that person in, for example, confirmation hearings, in public opinion?
Well, I think part of it depends upon, if you're thinking about how the other justices relate to the person, there might be a tendency to be respectful of the person's perspective on a case that seems to touch on an area of their special expertise, and that doesn't have to only do with ethnicity. Justice Ginsburg was a professor of civil procedure, and when a civil procedure issue arises, the other justices look at her, and though they may not agree, they tend to respect what she has to say. Justice Thomas on the court has had a very distinctive set of ideas about the rights of African Americans, and he, of course, is the only African American presently sitting on the court. But typically, he's the only person who votes the way that he does. So the other justices don't defer to him, even though he has a distinctive perspective. So you really could get either end of the stick. I think it's possible that the other justices would say on an issue that seemed to be relevant to Justice Sotomayor's background that she has some idea of what she's talking about, but they might think, well, she knows what she's talking about, but I fundamentally disagree.
Right. Well, Noah Feldman, the surprises will begin once the confirmation hearing is over, I guess. Noah Feldman, Bemis Professor of Law at Harvard University, joined us from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Also, thanks to John Schwartz from our partner, The New York Times, legal writer for The New York Times.